Okay. I'm just going to start off with some background information. All right. Just get some background for you.
Good morning, Vietnam. All right. Go ahead and get that in there.
What's your name and title?
Okay. My first name is Ted, T-E-D, and the last name is Rashod. My title, I'm the president of the board of directors at OHIC.
Okay. And can you spell your last name?
Sure. R-A-C-H-E-A-U. That's Cajun French from the bayous of Louisiana.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So this is north to me.
From Louisiana, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Are you an Oregon Hill resident?
Yes, I am.
Okay. When did you get involved with OHIC, and why did you get involved?
Well, I bought a home in Oregon Hill on Pine Street, 523 South Pine, near the infamous chuck wagon, 8 years ago. And the only reason I was able to qualify and afford this home was because of OHIC. I was working for the Sheriff's Department at the time, and I didn't make enough money to, on my own, just to go out and buy a home. And they were able to work with me and my salary and through grants and they were able to give me help with the down payment assistance, with a second mortgage, and with my closing costs. And with all that, they were able to get me a low interest rate, and I was actually able to get the house. And it was a tremendous feeling. It was the first home I've ever owned. And I never thought I would end up a home. I think I rented an apartment since 83, since I moved to Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell me why OHIC formed and what impact it's had on the neighborhood?
Why it formed?
That's right.
I could just take a few guesses, but it was before my time. I think it's been going on for almost 30 years now. And I'm not what you call a professional, all right? I volunteered to help OHIC because they helped me. And I ended up volunteering to help the board, and they asked me to be a board member. And then I ended up being the treasurer because we didn't have a treasurer anymore. And then when our last president resigned, it was her time. I think it's 2-3 year periods. I went ahead and they elected me president for right now. So, and why it got formed, I really couldn't tell you. Okay. What it does now, and I'd probably have to let you talk to my director, basically what it does now, because it does several things. We've got a list of stuff here. I don't know it by heart because I don't remember anything. I'll have to get the sheet of paper. You want to stop now and let me just kind of read it off to you?
I
have it memorized.
No, if you could just sum up what OHIC, what the mission, I guess, of OHIC is, I think that would be okay.
Well, we have a written mission. You want the written mission?
If you just paraphrase it.
Bottom line, we help people afford to get, we help first-time homeowners, we enable or help a first-time homeowner get a house.
Okay.
That's our initial mission. All right, we got a list of stuff too if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Just real quick. We offer credit and homeowner counseling. All right. We help people with emergency home repairs in the neighborhood. If we can't help you with what you need, we also have referrals to other agencies. We also inform people on tax credit advantages and tax abatements on your property. We offer neighborhood contacts for different items that you may need and not know it's available here in the neighborhood. So we try to keep a lot of the work in Oregon Hill. And then we do pictures and tours of the buildings and of things that are available for purchase. So, and we're sort of like a sounding board for people, too. We a lot of people at times they'll come in here and they'll have a question about something and they don't want to make a phone call to the city, or they can't get a message, and you know, we'll come in. There's a face. There's a live face here. We try to keep a presence here.
Okay.
And at times, like when this building became available, you know, we stepped up and we put our bid in to try to get it for OHIC and to keep it in the neighborhood, and we're able to do that when outside sources, like different contractors, come in and we discuss things with their architects and their engineers, and we try to keep. We also do historic preservation. That's important to us, so that you don't have like a 9-story building in a residential neighborhood. And we work with people on zoning. There's just a menagerie of things we do.
Okay. Has OHIC been successful?
Oh, I would think it's been very successful. And I tell people, it's not what you say, it's what you do and what you can show. And you can look at the type of homes that we've redone, the new type of homes we've built. You can see the quality of the workmanship. Just about like the number of workshops that we've done. It's like, I think the number is 158 workshops. And I think we've done 34 different properties right now up to date. So,
why do you think OHIC has been so successful?
Really and truly, unlike a lot of large organizations or different areas or communities that I've seen, not communities but organizations, it's right now made up of the Oregon Hill neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that are passionate about what they do, and a lot of volunteer assistance. And I think that's enabled us to weather the storm and financial crises that have come about, and being a nonprofit organization, it really makes it tough. You're at the whim of the basically society and corporations and the ups and downs of the market and how much money they're willing to donate.
Okay. There's some concern in the neighborhood over changes OHIC wants to make. Can you tell me about that?
Well, it's not a matter of wanting to make. When you're a board member, you have to sort of pull yourself out of the neighborhood a bit, and you have a fiduciary duty to the organization, and you say what's best for the organization. You see what's worked in the past and what hasn't. And you try to make things that's going to strengthen the corporation and the organization. And this is what you do when you volunteer to be on the board. You're there at every meeting. You see what's going on. You have all the stats. And you try to do the best thing you can for the company. Also, you look in mind the impact it's going to have on the neighborhood. There's a misconception in the neighborhood that Oregon Hill is leading. I'm sure everyone's, well, I don't know if you've heard that, but we get that a lot, and they ask us, well, when are y'all leaving? Where are you going? We're not going anywhere. We're here to stay as long as possible, as long as we have the financing and the resources, because we're that's what we're subject to, the outside sources of income.
Mm-hmm. And can you list real quick what the changes you're thinking about, what they are?
Not real quick, but I'll be glad to get all the changes for you. Jeannie? We have a list of it just quickly, or where's the sheet? We're going to have another information meeting, I think, Sunday.
I mean, to go over all of that is going to...
I know. It's quite a bit. Main thing, what it is, it'll be from a membership organization.
Mm-hmm.
To a non-stock.
To a non-stock, non-membership corporation.
So what does that mean?
There will be no members in it.
Oh, okay.
It'll be run by the board of directors.
Okay. All right.
Which will be more in line with, from what I'm hearing, all the different nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And we... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no problem.
I don't want to answer a question that hadn't been asked.
That's fine. And why are you thinking about making these changes? Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, part of it, I'll let my director tell you about it, but it's the funding changes that I've been hearing about. We've been talking to one of our major sources, LISC, and they've been telling us about what the federal government is looking at, how they want a board that's financially responsible and not, say, a neighborhood, members in the neighborhood can change over. They want someone that's going to be, it's a fiduciary type of situation. And that's one of the reasons we're doing it. Also, to seek new funding. And to seek funding, you have to have a professional corporate type style board. It can't just be like a membership organization. So we weighed the pros and cons of it, and this is what we're going to go to the membership and speak to them about.
And also, if you expand the program to represent other neighborhoods, you can't exactly have Oregon Hill residents telling Carver or Swansboro how, and to let them have all the power to be able to do that. It's just not a fair situation. So the board has addressed that, I think, very well by pointing off all of those indicators that say that they're going to have an advisory council. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be three Oregon Hill residents on the board, and I think that that's very important.
Do you want a chance to answer some of these questions after we're done speaking with Mr. Rochelle?
Sure. I mean, I think he's doing a great job.
Oh, I think so, too. If you have something to say, like just then when he was speaking and you came in, I would definitely like to get your point of view, too. But interrupts our... Yeah, I just meant that our sound, as far as broadcasting it, right. If you talk over it, then it kind of...
No, I would love for her to speak.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's why we hired her.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I know she can't. The mic can't pick up over there. That's cool.
Well, actually, it can. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it does... It throws off your...
But, yeah, it's just...
Sounds like
it's
coming from the back.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude.
That's why we didn't give a mic to the drummer, because...
Because he can talk already.
He liked to sing, he just couldn't sing.
Okay.
Play the drums. God, kid was good.
Okay.
Next question.
Yeah, sure. As involved as the Oregon Hill residents have been with OHIC, do you really think they'll vote to not have a vote?
Well, I'm hoping that they will put their personal feelings aside. And, like, I'm appealing to you because you're a member now. And try to do what's best for the organization. I like making analogies. It's like arguing over a nice looking car, and they want it to go different way, but there's no gas in the car. What do? You have to have gas to run the car. We have to have money to make this place go. I think a lot of the membership, and I'll use you for example, think that we're a multi-million dollar organization and we just decide where the money's going to go. Every month, every meeting, we worry about the next month, about the money coming in, because there's a good chance it won't be there. Just a few weeks ago, our mayor, who I voted for, he's trying to get their financial house in order. And to do that, sometimes you have to throw out a little good with the bad. And he pulled back $67,000 in funding from us. And that's a lot of money to us. And who saw that coming? You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You could lose a funder that helped us last year. You can say, well, this year, we can't help you this year. And then what do? So you struggle and you do the best you can. So I think, and I'm hoping, and I know what we're asking is a tough decision, but we've had to make a lot of tough decisions. And I hope they make the right decision and do what's best. Not say personally, because I, as a board member, have to vote for things sometimes and go with something that I'm not personally for, but it's for the best of the organization, not what benefits me the most. So that's what we're hoping for.
Okay.
And there again, we're going to state our case, and I know they have their case, and we have a vote, and we're still going to be neighbors at the end of the vote. So it's exciting. I'm excited that the neighborhood is getting that involved in it. It's a neat thing, but that's one of the reasons I moved to Oregon Hill. It's a unique place. It's the closest thing to Louisiana that I've found since I've been living in Richmond since 83.
Okay. And why get rid of neighborhood membership?
Well, we're not trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's like I said before, I don't want to be redundant. I think I answered that before. We want neighborhood participation. As a corporation, you can't have members that vote, all right? And not in a nonprofit. They're becoming, as far as I know, and I couldn't even tell you how many voting membership organizations, nonprofit versus nonprofit. But it's a way of, I guess, being more professional in terms of when you're going to people, having to put your hand out and ask for money.
Okay. What other resources do residents have to influence development?
I'm not sure I understand that.
Do residents have other ways that they can influence the way, for instance, OHIC or another development corporation develops their own neighborhood? Is there a way they can go to you with their concerns about that?
Well, as a nonprofit organization, we're not supposed to be into politics. Mm-hmm. So we, but as members of the neighborhood, we're pretty fierce on how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you know about Ona, and that's been a godsend to the community, and it's to me it's the best thing I've seen since I've been here. And they're real strong politically, and they do a lot of the, I guess, the tough representation, going to city council. We have to be very, very careful. We can't cross that line. It's kind of like a church in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts us in a bind. But we can write a supportive letter to, you know, different organizations. And I think we've done that in the past with ONA when they've tried to, you know, get a zoning change or keep a large, you know, like having a car wash built right in the middle of the neighborhood. This is a unique area. If you've ever looked at the zoning, it's just it's a little tough. But I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Okay. Okay. OHIC wants to expand. Where are you expanding to?
Anywhere that will make it worth our while. Now, we have rules and regulations on where we can expand. And that's something that we were hoping to have a vote on, to change some of the articles and the amendments so that we could expand on what we do. Quick example. There's been some talk about Petersburg, all right? That came about because there was supposed to be grant money that would be available to restore some older homes down there in some of the blighted neighborhoods. And that would, and when they do that, they give you money for operation expenses and actual work on the home. So that would be more money coming in to OHIC and let us keep the lights on. Because as the ex-treasurer over here and company bulldog, I always looked at, you know, before you can do anything, you got to have the electricity bill running, okay? Nothing works unless you got electricity, you got to pay the rent. So I always looked at that. Then anything else would be wonderful. It's like we would love to, a lot of blighted homes in the city and areas that does not have an organization, if the city would come up to say, look, we can sell you this piece of property for a dollar. All right, and you can turn around and we'll give you some funds and get with federal money and we'll go ahead and restore it, and then you can get a first-time homeowner in there. We would love to be able to do that. And we have our own construction crew, three people of a big construction crew, and keep them working, all right, and keep the place going. That's what we look at doing. We're almost like we're like little carpenters, and you have to have a project. You have to be doing something in order for money to be coming in. And it's tough to stay busy because in Oregon Hill, and I think some of the city councilmen said that things in Oregon Hill, what do they call us now, the poor man fan, and it's booming, and you have a lot of private individuals who are looking to purchase land and build homes, houses, so they consider it already developed. So,
okay. Where do you get your funding?
That's pretty tough. There again, I let you talk to my director.
Sure.
But we count on donations. We have I got a sheet of paper, and I can show it to you and tell you how much money we get from the city, how much we get from the feds, how much comes in on donations, and the difference, we have to make up our own selves. They expect us to fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fundraise by having cake sales, you fundraise by what we've been able to do that has been successful for us, because fundraising was so tough. There's so many people asking for money. You know, it's like before, if you've got three hands out, well, you can put a dollar in each hand, and all of a sudden, if there's 12 hands out, what do? You know, so it gets smaller. You want to give them a little something, but if all you got is $5, and let's say there's 15 hands, you're gonna need some change. So and so what happens? You have less money coming in. So we've built some houses since that's what we do. You know, if we were pie bakers, then we can make like tons of pie and stuff, like $3 a piece. If it costs us a dollar to make it, that's $2 profit. Instead, we try to construct a home. I think we started this a couple of years ago, and you sell the home for profit. They call it market rate. You've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the profits and you turn it back into the corporation, and into OHIC. And that's to pay your city taxes and your taxes on the property, your salaries, your electricity, everything. So we're expected to fundraise. And I don't know if it's a third of what we've got to come up with or a quarter, but we've all got it down on the stats.
Okay. How is LISC involved with OHIC?
Well, that's another one I'll have to let Jeannie talk to you about.
Okay, that's fine.
Because that's more of a director type of organization. See,
sure.
as a board member,
mm-hmm.
we sit on the board. As a president, I preside over that board. But we don't run the company in terms of we have a director that does that.
Okay.
And she's a professional. That's why I don't do it. And guys, I don't know how to do it. You know, I'm a deputy sheriff. I do good security, but I can't run an organization. So that you'd have to direct her to that.
Okay. You've been criticized for applying to work in Petersburg without consulting the neighborhood membership. What's your response to that?
Okay. Hit me with the question again.
You've been criticized for applying to work in Petersburg.
Applying to work. We haven't applied to work in Petersburg. Now I could just stop and give you the political thing and say, what, we haven't applied to work.
Okay.
And we haven't. What we've done, we have gotten criticism. I think I've been in the neighborhood for 8 years. I've heard the organization criticized and complimented since I've been here. So you're always going to have that. A lot of it is from misinformation. On the Petersburg, it would be just like going in the city. And I spoke to a few members recently, and I explained to them about the Petersburg situation. We had heard that there was going to be, there again, grant money for, and I think I spoke earlier about the Petersburg situation. And all we're doing now is investigating and seeing what would happen, how much money, what you would have to do, how much time it would take, and if it was feasible. All right? And then, according to the bylaws, either have a board vote on it, have a membership vote, whatever the bylaws call for, that's what we would do. But that's pretty much it right now. Nothing has been decided. No one applied to go over there, and we're not even capable of doing that. We're just fighting to take care of what we're doing now.
The Local Initiative Support Coalition encouraged the organization.
He's going to have a few questions you asked about LISC and about running the place. Like I told him, I'm not director. I'm just sitting on the board.
But he does.
It would help if you could answer some of the questions, because I can't. Go ahead. I'm just taking care of the ones that I know.
Okay. You sent out a flyer that told people to register to vote in this meeting by Tuesday, May 9th, and May 9th was Monday. Was that intentional?
No. It's not intentional.
I don't think I understand the question.
It was a typo. Jamie did the flyer, and he forgot to change it to Monday instead of Tuesday. And people who put it in the door, we accept it. So, I mean, that is really a silly thing.
That's the first I heard about that. I didn't know anything about that.
Okay. Was the registration period extended to Tuesday?
Yes. Anybody who put it in, we accept it.
Okay.
But the and here we go back to this. There's never been a problem with people wanting to register and being refused. I mean, that's not been the problem. The problem has been people coming out. Just like we had the annual meeting, and you would expect the membership to turn out. We do the tough work here, the monthly come to meetings, emergency meetings, and all we ask the neighborhood is, and we ask for financial support too, but we know it's a tough neighborhood, and money's hard to come by right now. But we do ask them to come out on the annual meetings and vote. And see what we're doing and put their two cents in, and we invite them to board members, and we haven't had any turnout. And it's kind of disappointing when you try to do something for somebody and it's not getting noticed, or maybe it's noticed, but people are just busy and they feel like And it's not important for them to show out. That's why it's exciting that people are taking such an interest in this. I mean, it's wonderful. It's just sad that it hadn't happened before. So they'd be working with us. But the criticizing, I mean, you get that. And I think that's from people not knowing and not being afraid to come and ask questions. So, but that happens a lot at work. You want to fuss to somebody, but you don't want to go fuss to the big guy, so it's easy to fuss among each other, you know. And then sometimes it turns out to be wrong. So all I'm saying is I wish we were better at PR.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the message out. But we're working on that. We're going to try to start having just like informational rap sessions. Just people come over, maybe chew on some pizza and talk. And if nothing, we won't say anything and just let them talk, you know, so you can get that out, so you can hear about things. I think it's wonderful you coming over here and asking me these questions, because how would you know if somebody doesn't tell you? You know, I sit on the street sometime. I used to do by the chuck wagon, and a lot of people didn't know I was on the board. And you just hear what they had to say. It was amazing. It was like being a fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, and no one would come up to the official meeting and tell you what they were saying. So it's kind of neat. But go ahead with your question. That's ramble on.
That's no problem. What are your plans for Oregon Hill and its future?
Well, we have a 3-year plan, I believe, that we've come up with. And do you want me to read that to you? Because I don't have it memorized.
That's okay.
We had a 3-year plan. And you have to have a plan when you go into fundraisers and what you would like. But the key is you have to have the money to work the 3-year plan. So it's like, what would you like to be when you grow up? You know, that obviously we would love to be successful. We would love to have funding guaranteed coming in. We would love to be able to do the things that we see need to be done. We would love to be able to have the neighborhood tight with us. This is what I envision as a board member and as a temporary president, because you're not president for life over here. All right. So, but as a board member, I would love to see that happening. I would love to see we get the recognition from the city and inspire more confidence and not have the people, well, those guys. You know, it's funny, when I first started the board, they were asking, why you want to go up there with those big shots? You know, they don't care. They don't do anything. And a lot of them didn't realize it was just neighborhood people that was on the board. We're not bank professionals. We don't have people that sit on many different boards. It's just a bunch of neighbors that got together and tried to keep this place going. And if anything, that's a fault, because we're not professionals. But in essence, it's a strength too, because when finances got so difficult, we were not able to pay employees. Imagine if your company went to you and said, look, do you mind working for the next few weeks, maybe a month or so, and, you know, see if we can get enough money to pay you? How many people would show up for work with a good attitude if they knew they may not get a paycheck? And, you know, not only did our people do that, but they didn't even complain. I mean, that gives me goosebumps. I've never been in any situation, and I've worked with professionals that says, I don't get a paycheck, I'm gone. Boom. Just like that. That dedication like that, you're not going to find that in too many places. That's amazing. That's what inspires me when things are tough. I'm tired. This is my day off today. I wanted to sleep. I'm over here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of that. It's because of what I see that's been done in the neighborhood, the neighbors, the board, how hard they try. And I don't make any money from this. I'm not getting paid. This is a voluntary thing I do. You know, it's not going to help me when I run for office or when I apply for another board. Hey, this is it. It's just loving your neighborhood, loving your neighbors, and seeing that you can actually make a difference. I mean, I can walk up to a home we built and like hug it and touch it. This is real. This is not like a good feel-good thing. I've got people in this house. It's amazing when you see a family that's living in a home that would not have been able to get a home if not for this organization. That is amazing. It's like TV stuff, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, it's good, you know? And it makes me excited being a part of this. All right, that's enough.
All right, and my last question here.
All right, the last question? Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is my coffee. Go ahead.
Do you see gentrification as a problem?
as a neighbor or as a board member? What? Because I live in the organization, in the neighborhood, see, so that's and when you say, that's a tough word, what is gentrification? I'm asking you, what's your, because I can't answer that if I don't know, what exactly does that mean?
I don't know, it's a tough question.
You know, and what I seem to hear about gentrification is being snooty or having wealthy millionaires move in and build high-rise walls. And I've been here 8 years. I haven't seen it happen yet. You know, the biggest thing that happened was this one corporation that built a wall along the street. And so, no, I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want somebody coming in building a 12-foot wall around. And I think that would not be inclusive. Love that word, inclusive. But no, I don't see it as a problem yet. Actually, I would like to see some more people with upper incomes. Maybe we could go to them and ask for bigger donations. So
All right.
Answer your question.
All right, Mr. Ochoa, thank you for your... is it Rochaud?
Yeah, it's like Rochaud.
Okay. Well, Mr. Rochaud,
the big show, Rochaud. There you go.
Hey, Mr. Rochaud, thank you for your time.
Hey, not a problem, man. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much for your patience.